It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
This episode is sponsored by Tubi. Now, before we go too far, I should probably say Tubi is completely unaware that they are sponsoring this episode. So don't go to them and be like, so you sponsored the hat, because they'll be like, what are you talking about? And then they'll sue us if they feel like it, and don't do that. But I've been watching a fair bit of Tubi. William, are you familiar with Tubi?
Heard of it.
Yeah. It's another streaming service. It's a free one. It's totally free. It's just got ads. But a couple things. There's actually a bunch of services like that, but this has a couple things over the other ones. One is they actually have a lot of decent stuff and a lot of old TV shows and stuff like that. And yeah, ton of movies that one might actually want to see. And the other one is they're a big enough name that they have real commercials, which doesn't sound good. But like, when I've watched some of these cheaper ones, the commercials are like, hello, I'm Bob from Bob Cunningham's furniture gallery. We have all the furniture you could hope for at low price, but like goes on for like 60 seconds of that. And then you get five of those. And sometimes, I mean it literally, sometimes the real low budget ones played the same commercial two or three of the five that I had during the commercial break. The commercials on Tubi are just like commercials you would see on TV. So some money has been put into them to make them mildly engaging and entertaining. But also you can ignore them like you used to when you watch TV and there were commercials. But I've been very pleased because they have a fairly good selection, including they have a lot of found footage horror, which, as we all know, is my guilty pleasure. It's the only thing in the world I refer to as a guilty pleasure, because it's the only pleasure I feel guilty about, which is funny because I watch a lot of porn, but still, it's the only pleasure I feel guilty about because they're all terrible, but I can't stop watching them. But it's fun because I've been encountering, you know how I like novelty in these, because all the found footage horror movies are the same. So if you give me one that's like a little different, I'm kind of into that fact. And I've had some lately. One, it's a growing genre, but the idea of doing these found footage horror movies over teleconference things like this, like a Zoom, there's a Zoom one out there that's on Netflix, and I've seen some. And I saw one that was on Skype. And what I like is they actually play with the mythology. In this particular one, they accidentally let loose a demon, because that's what you do. But it wasn't behaving the way that like all the texts say the demon should. And basically, it turned out because of camera technology and things like that, it could do crap that it couldn't do before. And I'm like, that's kind of original. It was still a pretty bad movie, but you know. And one that was particularly novel for me is the one called hashtag Screamers that is about a burgeoning video streaming service, like essentially a YouTube, but it has a gimmick to make it different from YouTube. But they get these weird videos that are giving them a lot of traffic that are sent anonymously. So they start tracking down who made these so they can make a deal with them, and who made them is spooky, and you get no payoff for what the fuck is going on, and it's terrible. But what I liked is, as you know, because I've talked about this a lot and no one cares, but it's my podcast, so there you go. One of the important things in this process is you have to make the audience hate the characters early on so that you're jazzed about the fact that they're all going to get murdered.
Or at least you won't mind if they do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because this is what happens with these movies. They're all going to get murdered. If you're lucky, one of them will go insane and be locked up forever. But mostly they're all going to get murdered. And so you need to be like, oh no, I'm down for this. And pretty much that's all you're watching, is them being assholes, them being murdered. Those are the two acts in a found footage horror movie. And what I really like
to be to be fair, those are the two acts in a lot of horror movies.
True. But I don't know, because other ones, you know, sometimes somebody will survive the whole final girl thing, but these,
that's right,
all the time.
That's right.
But this one I really enjoyed, because the novelty here was they didn't have to do anything to make us hate the characters. Because I said it was a burgeon, it was a startup video thing. And the whole, the excuse for it is they were doing sort of a behind the scenes documentary about the business. And so the first 15 minutes is just a bunch of people acting like the people who would start a startup, you know, disruptive tech video service. And I absolutely fucking hated them. Talking about monetizing them, going up. So this is where the programming happens. It's not as cool as sales, but you know, like that kind of shit, like literal one-on-one interviews where they're trying to defend why they steal so much personal information from people. And literally things like, we give them so much and it makes sense, they should give something, and this whole thing. And I'm like, oh, I hate you so much. And it's because you're just acting like a person would in this job. Otherwise, this is, again, terrible movie, no payoff, and built around jump scares. It's literally, the whole movie was based around the concept of those videos where, like, they're like, watch closely and you're supposed to watch something and then somebody with a mask like screams at you and scares you. It's based around that concept, so it's terrible. But I have been enjoying the novelty until I watched one called Paranormal Prison. And I should have been a little tipped off because it was rated TV-14. But it acted normal. It's some people, you know, supernatural investigation. And they're doing all this stuff and they're making up bullshit science. They were really big on certain terms, so I had to look them up. And some of them are real, but they're using them weird. And all this shit. And everybody sucks real bad. But like one guy in particular sucks real bad. And we got all this stuff. And we've got somebody helping them that I telegraphed a mile away. I'm like, oh, they're actually a ghost. And we're going to find out they've been dead the whole time. Whatever. Nobody fucking died. Nobody. Turns out the ghosts were just there to lead these people to basically disprove, like posthumously prove someone's innocence of a crime. But like a century old crime, like nobody alive cares. And then they all got to leave. And I was so pissed off because, I mean, they hammered home in traditional found footage horror how shitty some of these people were. And I was legit jazzed to watch them get killed. Nope.
Here's another aspect of that it's not just about the formula of everybody dies. It's found footage. Why was it found? Why did it have to be found? Because all the people involved with it are gone. So how is it found footage if anybody survived? Then it turns into given footage, footage or whatever.
I saw one recently that legit had a thing in it where there's this guy sitting at a desk and it's like, if you're watching this, then you're assisting the FBI in this investigation regarding blah, 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 and a whole thing briefing you. And then at the end, he came back. And weirdly, at the end, he's like doing that sitting on the edge of the desk thing, looking sidelong at the camera. And nothing about this says that, but yeah, it's this whole looking into this mystery. And here's, like, I love the various excuses that they come up with for that kind of shit. Although more and more there's a burgeoning thing of, in these haunted places, the ghosts want people to come so they can, I guess, eat their souls or whatever. And so they find a way to get the footage out there so that other people will be intrigued and come later. So that's becoming a thing. That's something I'm enjoying. I'm experiencing very slowly sort of the evolution of found footage. I don't know how long it'll go on, because found footage as a genre is dying off hard, very understandably. But it is interesting because the technology is changing and how they're choosing to do that. So I was sitting here looking for something and one night, and Trisha's like, you saw that you had this one last night where there was a guy and some teenagers sent him some footage of a place and he was going to investigate. I thought you should watch that, but you skipped it. And I was like, what one were you talking about? She says, I don't remember. It was just one of the early ones you were doing. So we went through this whole thing and finally found it. She's like, yeah, that's the one. And we watched the trailer again. And I was like, oh yeah, no. She's like, have you seen this? I said, no, this one's real. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah. I realized, and I hadn't before, years and years of watching these shitty movies, I have a good sense for if it's a fake one or not. And I was like, no, see, you'll notice no special effects. The only scary shit is occasionally the guy acts kind of weird. And that, like, no, this one is an actual documentary, which means nothing is going to happen and it sucks. And she was like, I can't really. And she looked it up and she's like, oh, you're right, it is. I'm like, yeah, no, I've got a sense for these now. I'm like, that one's real. I'm out. Because the fucking algorithms on the streaming services do not know the difference. They are constantly suggesting actual ghost hunting shows to me. And I'm like, fuck off.
There are some ghost hunting shows that, you know, they figured this thing out and it probably didn't take them very long. What you're saying is that, you know, nothing really ever happens in ghost hunting shows. So they make things happen, right? I mean, and you can tell it's fake. You can tell that it's not really happening, but they're lying to you. I mean, they'll tell you.
Oh yeah.
They want you to think that door moved on its own or this happened by itself. And so there's a lot of
fucking Psychic Friends Network all over again. Like, this is absolute bullshit. But one could argue, well, I don't know. I don't know if it's gotten there. The one could make parallels to pro wrestling, you know, that kind of deal.
Well, here's the thing. I've seen
pro wrestlers will admit off camera that it's fake and ghost hunters will not.
Well, I've seen a few of these and some people are better at it than others. I mean, like, even though you know it's fake, it's like, oh, that was pretty good. I mean, the timing was good. The setup was good. The editing was good.
Oh yeah.
The sound editing was good. And you're like, that was pretty good. I mean, that really kind of gave me a little shudder, you know, even though I know it's fake. And so some of those are actually fun to watch, even though in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, these are jerks for, you know, lying to people like this.
The big cues for me is somewhere in the trailer, somebody's face needs to morph into something scary. You have to see an actual ghost or demon or monster or something. You have to see someone get killed or hear someone talking about how someone's dead. And on rare occasion, if somebody freaks out enough, it could be a sign that it's fake. But they have to be like fucking screaming and like punching their compatriots to get out the door, shit like that. Or just anything that wouldn't happen. Like, oh, the door is locked. Why is the door locked? Like that kind of shit. Like, if it's anything that could possibly just happen in regular real life, then it doesn't count. It has to be something extreme. And almost always near the end of a trailer, if it's a fake one, you'll have at least one shot of like somebody's eyes get big and black and their mouth hangs open or something like that. And that's how you know. Because the fake ones are still like a fake noise in the background or a door slam or some bullshit like that, or things on their instruments that you can't verify, like a cold spot or whatever, or somebody gets possessed, because you can fake that all the time. Give me back my golden arm, like that kind of shit. I mean, I just did it. See, there you go.
Possessed?
Oh, I wasn't. Gosh, No.
That explains a lot of things.
This is my point. As much as realistic as that seemed, I was faking. You can't trust that.
That's just what a possessed person would say.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
have you been possessed this whole time?
That would be hilarious, like sequel to The Exorcist, where you show up and they're tied to the bed or whatever. They're like, no, I was just screwing around. What are you talking about? It's fine. Jeez. I can't take a joke. I want to make that movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that spends time talking about shit that we know for certain no one listening cares about. And we don't, too bad. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 557.
Yeah, more and more, I'm like, you can't. At this point, I feel like I only know for certain of two people who are listening. And I'm also worried, is Jazz dead? When's the last time you talked to Jazz? She's getting kind of blood sparrowy on us.
We exchange emails once in a while. She's been very, very busy with lots of various things with her job. But we communicate back and forth sometimes in email.
All right, good.
We haven't talked about the podcast, so she might be a little behind in listening, but she's out there doing stuff, living her life, living her best life.
I guess people can do that, but no, I know Azertown's listening. We know Azertown's listening. Pretty sure Mick's listening. Maybe sometimes Stu's listening. I haven't heard from Beth in a while. I haven't heard from Coffee in a while. My other friend, anonymous friend who listens, she might be caught. I don't know. We had lunch on Thursday. That was why we had to record at a different time. And so I posted it that morning. And so at lunch, I was about to tell, and I was like, oh, wait, you haven't listened to the podcast, right? She's like, what? I was like, yeah, it released it 2 hours ago. I figured you probably had. For those of you just joining us, because that's a thing, here's how this works. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People write into that email address, whatever the crap they want. The hat forwards it to us. We are obligated to read it on the air, talk about it or something related to it until we're bored for about an hour. That's a very small portion of the show. So you have news because you had news on Thursday, but we had already recorded on Tuesday. So that didn't happen.
Yeah, because my, for some reason, my appointments with my surgeon, because that's who I've been meeting is my actual surgeon, which I didn't expect that. You know, I expected.
I believe it's pronounced sturgeon.
I thought my surgeon would do the surgery. And then I would never see this person again. But not only am I meeting with this person every time I go in, but she's like very attentive. Like, you know, she'll answer all of our questions. She'll be in that room with us for as long as we want. It's pretty amazing. And I'm very impressed with her. But anyway, somehow the appointments ended up being on Thursday mornings. So yeah, usually I do have news on Thursdays, but as you just pointed out, we didn't record on Thursday. So what happened last Thursday was they took me off of the wound vac. So Tupperware boy was no more as of Thursday.
Bart machine is done.
Now, when I talked about that possibility, I said that they were just going to replace it with a process that I was going to like less. And that did pretty much happen. Although the process that they replaced it with, two times a day, doing something with the dressing and all that stuff, wasn't the worst that I could imagine. And today they said we could stop doing a little bit of that. So
and despite what we talked about last week, this doesn't make you more susceptible to disease, correct?
Yes and no, but but not to a degree where I can't travel. I asked them if this was going to prevent me from going home for Thanksgiving. They said no, especially if I do all the stuff they want me to do. Like if I change the dressing twice a day and I treat it in a certain way and I make sure it's covered, it is more vulnerable than with the vac on it, but not so much more vulnerable that it should make a difference. Now, if I don't follow their directions, I could get myself in some trouble, but of course I'm going to follow their directions, so that's not an issue. So yes, that's right. I should be able to go home for Thanksgiving without any problem, so long as I'm following their directions, which I intend to do to the letter. And so that's good. And like I said, today, the process was simplified from what it had been for the last week. So it's actually not going to be that bad if I have to keep doing, today for another couple of weeks, it won't be that bad. It'll be a little bit of a pain, but not actually the way the process works now, it's probably a little better than the moon vac actually. So I'm pretty happy about that.
And you've been able to sleep in a bed?
They said that it would probably be okay for me to go ahead and try that, but that, you know, if anything happened and I experienced any pain or whatever, then of course I shouldn't, but I already know that that's going to happen. So I'm not even going to try. I know how I sleep. I toss and turn. I end up on my, front. I don't think they recommend me sleeping on my stomach, but that would happen. So I'm not even going to try that.
I don't know that I could sleep on my back at all, but then again, I don't think I could do it in the recliner either.
Well, and I don't very well, better than I thought I would. And I'm kind of getting used to it. So it's not horrible, but
that's probably a thing. Yeah.
But I have had sleepless, Monday I was supposed to go in for a cardiac rehab, but I didn't sleep all that night. And it was really early in the morning. And of course, studies show that if you drive tired, that's the same as driving drunk. So I canceled because I wasn't going to drive impaired to this thing. And I had to drive myself. Abby couldn't drive me. Otherwise I just would have had her drive me. But it's not been, I don't always sleep in the chair at all, but it's not been as bad as I would have expected. And like I said, I have been getting used to it mostly. And but today I thought, a week ago, I don't know if I'd call it good news necessarily, because like I said, they took the wound back away and that was good, but they just replaced it with something else that I didn't really like. Today, the news was like, I'm a lot better off today than I was a week ago. And so that feels really good. Like, I don't really have for example, a week ago, even though they told me I could go home for Thanksgiving, I felt a little apprehensive about it, and I don't now. I feel pretty good today after the appointment today. It just went really well. So, woohoo! Yeah, it's still not where I want it to be. I think I've said, I'll feel like I've kind of made it. You know, a milestone for me is when I can sleep in my own bed without any kind of discomfort or pain. And also when I can shower and I'm not like avoiding this area or cleaning it in some special way. I'm just getting in the shower and doing what I used to do, which they said I could do. But again, and I know why they said that, but I can't. I'm going to have to be further along before I feel comfortable doing that. It is getting, there is progress, and that's very encouraging. And I need that because frankly, with this whole thing dragging on, it's a little depressing. So
yeah,
it's nice to get some good news. It's nice to know I'll be able to go home. It's nice to know. And not only am I going to be able to go home, but, so Abby's daughter had a son 8 months ago, and we have visited with them occasionally in various places, but not here at the house. So it's going to happen unless something falls through. I don't know. But on Friday, I think they're going to come here and we're going to have sort of a Thanksgiving here with her daughter, her son-in-law, and her grandson. And that'll be nice because, you know, we just never done that before.
Yeah. So that's big.
So we look forward to that.
Yeah.
They were over at the house near Halloween, but we were mostly outside when they were visiting then. We've gotten together, like we went to the pumpkin patch and stuff before, like a couple weeks before Halloween. I had the wound back then, and so that didn't work out great for me, but it was still good to see.
Better to amuse the baby. You making those kind of noises must have cracked that baby up.
He really liked the pumpkins, actually. We have Abby put him on one of those risers that have pumpkins on it. And I just took a bunch of pictures, you know, and so she was able to make a GIF out of it. And he's just like all over this pumpkin because he thinks it's so cool. He's a real cute kid. His name's Delmer because he's named after his paternal grandfather, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, nobody's named Delmer anymore. And
I mean, very true.
Like it. And he's a real cute kid. And of course, Abby's over the moon because this is her first grandchild. And so it's been really nice to visit with them we didn't really have very much interaction with them before this. Didn't really get to know her husband very much, but that's been a very positive experience getting to know him better. We enjoy each other's company, and it's just been really nice.
I've heard that can be a thing, that a baby / grandkid can reunite somewhat estranged family members.
Well, you know, it. I think
not always, but sometimes.
There are other things at play that I won't get into, but there have been some frank discussions about some things that I think were good for us to have frank discussions about, you know, and it's just sometimes things sort of end up working themselves out when people let them, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So it's been really, really nice. You know, and they're great parents. Oh my gosh, this kid is so, one of the earliest classes you take in graduate school for counseling and
human behavioral science. The baby's already in graduate school?
Is human development classes, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, I've been taking human development classes since high school, and I've always been very interested in that kind of thing.
Still can't figure out how it works.
Well, there's always new.
They got the legs, and then what? What?
So there's always new research and always new stuff. And so I've
fingers. What's happening?
I just took a real. It was actually a very good class in human development, and I just took it earlier this year. And so you know, I'm primed to look for certain things, look for certain behaviors that would indicate anything. If anything was amiss, but also that indicate when things are not, or they're great. And he's got all of the indicators of a kid that's being properly paid attention to properly.
Yes.
Everything that you would look for to see, you know, how are these parents doing is like, wow. I mean, they're doing all the right stuff. And of course, a lot of times while we're visiting with them, they're doing those things. The kid is very happy, very calm, very engaged. It's just really, I don't know. It's just really encouraging to see, young parents, doing such a great job with their kid, which I'm sure is how it usually works, but you know, you get so much negativity from the world. It almost trains you to expect things to not be good or whatever, or to be surprised when things are like normal, you know. It's like, of course that's how parents are with their kid. Of course the kid is healthy and happy. Of course, what else? Why should you expect anything else? I mean, I don't think I expected anything else, but I just like appreciate so much that it, you know, seeing everything goes so well, and being reminded that there are so many more good things going on in the world than bad things. And I just, you just kind of have to distance, you know, one of the things I've had to do in recovery is avoid the news because I can't let my heart rate go up.
I mean, I think that's a good idea regardless, but yeah.
And I've always known that keeping up on the news, that I've really had to check myself to make sure that it doesn't make me think that everything's awful, everything's awful, everything's awful. And I'm not always good at it. So, you know, I'm constantly catching myself going, William, you're catastrophizing things. You're taking these things in the news, you know, that are selected in a certain way to make the world look worse than it really is. And you're believing it. You're letting it change your worldview. And so when I finally cut the news out during my recovery, you know, I could start to see even more how that was happening. And it's just been a real positive experience for me to go, yeah, that, yes, there are some bad things. There are things I don't like going on in the world, but there are far more good things. And some of them are perfectly ordinary things that you should expect. For example, two reasonably intelligent people who obviously and of course love their child unconditionally and act like it. I mean, that's probably the norm. And we can all take great comfort in knowing that and not take the negative things that are going on in the world and think that, you know, it's all going to hell and there's no reason for any hope. But they're great parents. They're a great couple. And we've just had a great time spending time with them and getting to know them better. So we look forward to, it'll be Friday after Thanksgiving. Again, maybe something will happen that it doesn't work out, but I hope everything works out so we can do that.
And if you had just taken a breath somewhere in there, I had a great joke, but you killed it. Because there was a great part earlier on where you were basically saying your grandson is very advanced, which I found adorable.
I mean,
I think every grandparent says stuff like that. It's just so cute.
Advanced? I don't know if I'd say that. Maybe he is. I don't know. He just does all the things that he's going to be, you know, around 8 months old. He just does all the things that 8 months old are supposed to. I guess I don't know what advanced would be at 8 months. So I can't say that, but I can say that he's very healthy and that they're doing a very good job with him. I mean, it's not like he's talking at 8 months or something. He's not even crawling yet. I can't even tell you exactly when he should be, but he's rolling over, you know, he's just obviously doing fine. And it's just like, there shouldn't be anything surprising about that. And again, I'm not surprised. I'm just like, I can just tell that I've let myself get sort of warped by news and things like that. Not so much to expect bad things, but to be overly impressed with good things, like they're so rare, but they're not. And of course, I know her daughter. I mean, she's a very intelligent, capable person. I'm certainly not surprised that she's a good mom or something like that. But you know, it's not about her or him or them at all. It's just about my own warped imagination when it comes to the state of the world based on all the terrible news that I take in. And it gets back to what we talked about once before about how stories are a necessity. And they very much are like food. And if you take in the wrong kinds or you take in one kind or another, it's going to impact you and your way of thinking, just like food impacts your health, your physical health. Stories impact your mental health. And you do really have to pay attention to what kinds of stories you're taking in, how you're taking them in. You know, if your diet is too far in the realm of horrible, you know, exaggerated, especially stories about how bad things are in the world. I mean, you have to remember there's a lot of good things in the world. And that should never feel like a surprise. And when it does, you really, I think, need to examine your life, which is what I've been doing, obviously. So.
I have you're probably pretty soon, at least in a few months, where you're going to have to come up with your nicknames. Yeah. Are you going to be Grandpa or Pubba or Pop Pop or Humpa, which is what my father-in-law is. My father-in-law is Humpa.
They don't, I don't think, I mean, I'm just Bill. I'm pretty sure. I mean, you know,
you should at least get a nickname. I mean, it's fine if we say that's not your grandpa, but you should still get, you're still a member of the family. So you should get a name.
Say for the record,
Bubba, something
if,
like that.
You know, if they ever said, hey, or, you know, if they started, you know, calling me grandpa or something with the kid, I certainly wouldn't mind that. I mean, that what an honor, right? But I also would understand if they didn't want to do that. I mean, because I'm not related and, you know, some people are weird about that kind of thing. And I totally, totally get it. And I understand. On the other hand, you know, Abby and I are married. I am technically a stepfather. So they could do that. That wouldn't be out of bounds for our culture or anything like that. But it's completely up to them. And I have no problem with whatever they decide. But I'm pretty sure, at least so far, it seems, I mean, it hasn't really come up.
No, because the kid's not talking yet. But when the kid's talking, then it's going to come up.
Yeah. And I think they're probably going to feel like, you know, part of it is for most of the time the kids were growing up, you know, Abby and I weren't, I mean, there was probably a good period of time there where we could have been common law married, but we weren't, you know, we weren't presenting that way or anything. And I was the kid's godfather. And so that's what they knew me as, their godfather. I don't know if there's be too much cognitive dissonance to think of me as anything else. So, and again, I completely understand that. And I don't have a problem with that at all. That said, I would be totally honored if they did change their mind about that. Totally honored, but I completely understand.
Ugh. I'm so happy about all of this, and I have so many things to say about it that would not be appropriate to say on the podcast.
They will.
Just so many things. But I am loving. You hadn't mentioned before that you were seeing the baby regularly, and I love that. And I'm very excited that they're gonna hang out with you. So it'll just be you won't stay overnight in Des Moines. You'll just hop over for Thanksgiving.
My dad and a couple of my brothers are going to like be with in-laws for Thanksgiving. So we'll all get together on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll just hop over to the farm really on Saturday, stay for a few hours and come home. So now Thursday, I guess we'll just do something, but just us, which we have been doing for a while because, at some point, my older brother, Scott, the one I did a podcast with for a while, he started to consistently be with his wife's family on Thanksgiving. Like it just, that just became a thing. He was just wasn't with us on Thanksgiving. After a while, I think my dad and my youngest brother thought, well, you know, it's not cool for Scott not to be with us for Thanksgiving. And we don't mind waiting till Saturday. We don't have any special attachment to Thursday, you know? So why don't we just do it on Saturdays? And then we'll just go, we'll be with our wives and their families on Thursday. They knew I wasn't going to care. They knew my sister wasn't going to care. So then that it kind of turned into that over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. So yeah, Saturday. So Friday we'll hopefully have, her daughter and son-in-law and grandson here. And then Saturday we'll go down to the farm and that'll be it. So Thursday we'll just be here. What are you going to do?
Oh, the usual, except for last year. Sometime Wednesday we'll drive to Chillicothe and then we'll come back sometime Sunday. We have one of my in-laws who lives in Chillicothe. They usually spend with the other one's family because that family Thanksgiving is like a bigger thing for them than Christmas. So like they're always with us on Christmas and they're always with them on Thursday. Well, so often we'll see them like that night, or if not, we'll see them Friday or something like that. But my sister and mom and all of them in Oregon are actually saving Thanksgiving for Christmas, because my niece loves Thanksgiving and my niece isn't going to be back in the country until just a few days before Christmas. So, and they don't care otherwise. It's just the four of them. So, you know, whatever.
We are going to keep, I mean, we've got a lot of Halloween decorations still up. We always keep them up clear until Thanksgiving. And so I'm thinking about how all of these decorations are going to be gone in a little over a week. And we're going to have the Christmas tree up and stuff. Wow. That's, I can't even believe it. Seems like it went by so fast. Anyway,
time flies when you're stuck in the house with a fart machine.
You know what else has been going on this week?
What else?
So I don't know if you noticed, but Abby started playing Spyro Reignited or whatever.
I noticed that once. I'm not on the PlayStation very much, but I did notice that.
So I've been a fan of dragons pretty much my whole life. And when Spyro was first a thing, I was kind of fascinated by it. But at that time, that was in the PS1 and I didn't have a television. I didn't have anything. But there was a reboot of the franchise on PS2. And we never played it, which, I mean, this was like in 2006 or something. And we had a PS2. The only explanation I can come up with is that we must not have realized that it was out or something. Because,
well, and in the PS2 days, there wasn't, you weren't downloading games. You had to go get a disc. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we must, because I was always interested in Spyro and thinking, oh, I would really want to play this because dragons or whatever. So we got the Reignited and it's pretty fun. And when I realized there was a reboot that we missed and that I was pretty sure they would never make into a game we can play on the PS4, I talked Abby into watching like a cutscene movie of it. And it was really good. And I was like, wow, this would have been such a cool game. You know, Elijah Wood voiced Spyro and a few other famous people voiced things in it. It was actually very, very good. So I've been just really getting into Spyro for the last couple of weeks. It's just been really fun to sort of, but also like, why didn't I play this game? I would have loved playing this game. And there's also a character named Cinder that's just really cool. And it was part of the, really a big part of the reboot story. And also when Skylanders came out, we kind of wanted to play that and never did. And so now that's, we're kind of kicking ourselves about that. It's like, we would have liked playing this game. And then there was a Netflix show on for the last couple, it got canceled, but it had 3 seasons. So we've been watching that. And it's pretty cool. It's like, wow, this is a whole bunch of stuff we totally missed out on from 1998 when Spyro was introduced to now. We just
missed it. A few years ago, bought maybe more than a few years ago. I think it was when I had the PS3. I bought and downloaded the original trilogy of Spyro and tried to play it. It didn't really work for me.
It's a pretty, it's a very standard, not deeply plotted.
It's platforming stuff, which is not normally my thing. It was very early 3D, which was probably very cool at the time.
Yeah, it usually platformers aren't for us either, but I'm just that big a fan of dragons, and I like the world building fascinates me for some reason. It's not sophisticated or deep or anything, but it's like, this is really, I like it. Every little thing about it I like. And when they took those sort of superficial things and made a really deep and involved and interesting story with interesting character arcs and stuff in the reboot, wow, that would have been a great game to play. We would have loved playing that. And you could play a co-op and she could have played Cinder and I could have played Spy. We would have loved it. And I just cannot believe we missed out. But I've enjoyed sort of catching up with, like, you know, Wikipedia or watching cutscene movies and stuff. It's been kind of fun, but it does make me kick myself for not playing it.
You can't get it on the PlayStation Network.
No, I'm not sure about that. Well,
they got a lot of shit on there. I think it would be worth at least checking the store.
So you think that the reboot that was originally made for PS2 could be playable on our PS4 through the PlayStation Network?
Here's what I can tell you. The PlayStation Network allows you to purchase quite a lot of PS2 games. And I have downloaded and played, and in some cases, PS1 games. It's a matter of if they think there's an interest. So if the reboot did well, then maybe. If the reboot didn't do well, then maybe not. But yeah, such things exist.
Well, some of the Skylander games were made for PS4. So technically, yeah, we could get a portal and we could, you know, play some Skylander games, which we might try to do.
But I would check the PSN because there's probably, there's possibly stuff there, because there's definitely stuff that was contemporary with it that's there.
Well, I'll have to look. That's good advice. Thank you. Once again, I've taken up way too much time. You probably got lots of stuff to talk about for your week.
Not too much. I haven't gotten a lot of writing done this week. It's been kind of a weird week, but I got some. You and Trish will probably have a new copy of Costs to look through. And then I really need to get started on the next book, which the working title of the next book is Two Odd, Two Wings. Because I don't have a title, and if I fucking call it Odd Wings 2, it's going to end up being called Odd Wings 2, and I don't like that. I didn't like Odd Wings, but it was just a working title, and nobody, including me, could ever come up with anything better. So if it's called Two Odd, Two Wings, that is too stupid to publish. So it guarantees I'll have to come up with a better title. So
I hate the title Odd Wings, but I originally thought we could come up with something better, but we didn't.
No, and I will say it's real snazzy SEO wise.
Oh, sure,
Odd Wings in the computer, and you don't get any other stuff. So
no, that's right, but, and it's really grown on me, actually.
And yeah, and a lot of people like, I don't hate it as much as I did, but it's not.
I never hated it, but it's like I did think, well, maybe there is something better, but
yeah,
it's really good, actually, and I think it's worked out great.
But yeah, so as soon as I finish this next draft, hopefully I get into a world where I work on something and then I hand it to people to look at while I work on something else. And this is also good because, you know me, I get bored working on stuff, so then I can switch it up. But we'll see. I need to get started on the next book. I had my in-person therapy session this week.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. How'd that go?
Didn't really notice any difference. Gonna try it again next week and see, because it's not like it's a hardship. And I feel like if there is something to be gotten out of it, it's gonna be the real life version. Like, I don't think it hurts anything to try that. So I'm gonna try it a little bit more and see. Had an epiphany in therapy that I'm way more like you than I realized. So that's been depressing me a lot for a while since.
Wow, that would be depressing if someone
was bad, because I had the moment and I'm like, which is the exact thing I've been talking to William about for years. Oh, crap. So
that would be bad for anybody.
That was weird.
Condolences.
Trish is still doing Ted Lasso. She's really hoarding the episodes. So we watch one every few days. So we're only like 6 or 7 episodes in. Still watching Owl House and really enjoying that. Did you guys watch Owl House?
Not yet, no.
Have I talked about Owl House? I
have. You did talk about it, yeah. I think we probably will try to check it out, but I mean, we've been catching up on things like Disney movies and stuff too, yeah. So.
We're like 2/3 of the way through Doom Patrol. Trish is really not enjoying it. It is starting to grow on me. As someone who was a fan of 90s Grant Morrison, I'm seeing so much stuff that they've like updated, but I'm still like, the vibe here is very 90s. When we hit the Danny the Street episode, I was like, oh yeah, 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 of course.
Yeah.
but I'm kind of digging it. I still, each character on the show has arcs of character growth. When the show is not focused on that particular character's arc of character growth, they revert to the same shithead they were in the first episode. And that's not good TV, in my opinion.
I agree.
But when they're on their arcs, I'm enjoying it. And in fact, Larry hit what I think is the conclusion of his first arc in the last episode we saw, and I was satisfied with that and pleased, and I fucking hated Larry, so that was nice. But yeah, it's sort of like when we're like, when we turn away, then they just go back to being the same shitheads they were, and I don't like that. But it is growing on me. We're certainly going to keep watching it. And then, yeah, we saw Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
We did too.
What'd you think?
Well, gosh, I really should have thought about what I was going to say about this. The lead actor, whose name I don't remember, and I feel bad about
Simu Liu.
I like him a lot. It's like, yeah, this guy, he should be the lead in a superhero movie. And I like Awkwafina too. I didn't feel like the film, I didn't feel like the direction and the writing really lived up to what he could do. So overall, I was kind of disappointed in the film, but I liked him. I liked the character in general. I look forward to seeing him more in that role. But I feel like he showed up and was the right guy for that role, but then the writer and director didn't do their part. I didn't feel like that's how I felt about it. That could have been the mood I was in while I was watching. I don't know. What did you think of it?
I'd say that jibes with what I've been hearing from people. I felt similar. I'm still trying to parse. I know how I felt. I'm still trying to parse why I felt that way. I was very disappointed. I was very disappointed in the film. It was very pretty. That's about all I'll give it. The performances were great, but who fucking cares? Because it was the big problem I have is no part of the story made any sense. Right from the beginning.
Yeah,
the character, our villain in this movie, we start out talking about his history, and literally everything he ever was, everything he became, and everything he did in this movie make no sense. And it's fucking Tony Leung too, so it's such a waste because he did a great performance.
Yeah, he did.
Nothing he did or nothing that was they said, none of it made any sense. I have one friend who really enjoyed the comics. Apparently, if you like the comics, you're gonna fucking hate this movie because it's so far off from that.
That's too bad.
But I also can't tell. This is the first Marvel movie origin story I've seen in a while, and this movie was very much an MCU movie, like really a lot to its detriment was an MCU movie, and I'm wondering if I'm just getting MCU'd out. So I don't know how much is the fault of this movie and how much is just I've done enough of this. I mean, I'm not sorry I saw it, but I may be getting to a point. I mean, right now, obviously, I'm not going to theaters still, but I may be getting to a point where I just don't see MCU movies until they're on Disney Plus's regular tier. Because, like, I'm pretty excited about Eternals, but I'm probably also going to wait until it's on regular to Disney Plus also.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. So I may just be there, which is fine. I should be past
did
it.
Did you also, find...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, did you find the main character, like, likable? Like, I liked him. I wanted to see things, good things happen. I wanted to see him in action. I want to see him in another movie, even.
I have now seen him in a couple of things. He was great. He's a very good Marvel leading man.
What I thought.
I'm starting to think he may not have a lot of range.
That would be too bad.
Because he pretty much was Jung from Kim's Convenience, in my opinion.
Okay.
which is fine. Okay. but I think he did well there. I also am starting to be concerned that Awkwafina is being typecast, because I know for a fact she has range, because she was in that movie that I hated about lying to your grandmother about her having cancer. And I hated it, not because it wasn't an amazing movie, but because it was sad as fuck. But Awkwafina is the main character in it, and she's amazing, and it's totally a breakout from everything else I've seen her in. However, the character she played in this was also the character she played in Breaking News in Yuba County, was also the character she played in Ocean's 8, was also the character, kind of, that she played in Crazy Rich Asians. And I know she's capable of more. I feel like she's stuck. To wit, there's something very interesting and special about this movie, in that the male lead and the female lead are heterosexual, platonic friends. And on the one hand, I love that. I am super here for that. We need more of that. On the other hand, I cannot get rid of the suspicion that they did it that way because it was Awkwafina, and Awkwafina is being typecast as comic relief, and they didn't think she could be a romantic lead, which would piss me off. I will never know the truth on that, but I remain ambivalent because of that. Representationally speaking, I am super happy they did it, but I'm worried that's why they did it, and it pisses me off. So that's a thing. But yeah, I was disappointed, but it's very pretty. The effects are very cool. The first half of all the fight scenes are very impressive. After the first half, they bring in crazy CGI bullshit, and then it's just Marvel fight scenes. But which are also fine. But I mean, like, from a martial arts perspective, the first half of all these is kind of cool. And then it goes crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. If you've got Disney Plus, watch it. It's not worth buying Disney Plus for it, but Disney Plus has a bunch of other stuff too. So
watch Jungle Cruise too.
Did you?
We're just catching up on stuff.
How is that?
Well, if you like the early Pirates movies, you'll probably like it. I mean,
I did actually hear a reference to that where somebody was like, we took the first Pirates movie and just turned it into Jungle Cruise. Mostly, I mean, I have nothing against it. I'm sure it would be perfectly entertaining. From what I can tell, it's just the most useless film. Like, there's just not a reason for it to exist.
I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean, I mean that's I thought that since it was first suggested. I thought,
oh yeah, really, yeah.
Really,
yeah.
But first of all, Emily Blunt is delightful in just about everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can just watch her all day long.
And so is The Rock. I mean, it's not revelatory, but he's fun.
And one thing that Disney does pretty well with these types of movies is, in my opinion, other people might disagree, but like with the Pirates movies, a lot of the lore they worked into it, I found pretty fascinating. I thought it was really interesting how they use the flying,
for that kind of shit,
how they use the Flying Dutchman, how they work this in, how they work that in, Davy Jones, you know, it's like, this is actually working for me. I don't know how or why, but it is. And this is the same. They had some stuff in it, lore that they made up. And it was like, this works for me. And now some of it was so similar to the Pirates movies, it could bother you. But it didn't bother me. I was like, yeah, this is cool. I like this. And some of the special effects were good. And there were some things, surprises I didn't see coming. So I thought, you know, this is fine. I would probably never recommend it to anybody, but not because it was bad, but just because I think the people who are going to like this know who they are and they're going to watch it without my recommending it.
And I haven't heard anybody say they hated it. But yeah, I've heard a lot of.
Now, Abby liked it more than I did, but that's because, you know, Abby herself has an interest in things like, you know, botany and archaeology or whatever. And Emily Blunt plays a botanist, you know, who's doing all this Tomb Raider type stuff. And it's just right. It just hits the right spot for Abby to just, it would have to be a really horrible movie for her not to get into it. And it wasn't really horrible. It was perfectly fine. So, and she likes Emily Blunt. So all those two things together went a long way to her enjoying it, even if it had been bad. And it wasn't bad. It was fine. So, and that helped me enjoy it, that she was enjoying it so much. So yeah. It was overall a good experience for us. But like I said, you'd have to be a fan of the ride, I guess, or just a fan of Disney movies in general. Or I think if you like the Pirates movies, because here's the thing. The Marvel movies are pretty formulaic too. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. And if you can tolerate that, in fact, you kind of like that it's the same thing because that's what you want, and you liked the early Pirates movies, I don't see why you wouldn't like this, because that it follows that formula. Yeah. And maybe if that you like that formula, maybe you'll like it.
And I mean, if Trish, for some reason, I got possessed by an alien or something and was like, I want to watch this, I'd be like, yeah, sure, fine. It just, yeah, something about it seems just like the perfect storm of unneeded. Like,
oh, yeah.
Every aspect of the film that I've heard about, I'm like, there's at least three other films that do a perfectly fine job of this already.
You have seen this movie before. Trust
there, me. Exactly.
Lots of times.
Which cracks me up, kind of. But, oh, I forgot. We're definitely not getting to a question because I forgot. I saw another movie I want to talk about.
Oh, good.
It was Trish's idea. I wasn't gonna, but Trish wanted to, whatever. It's on HBO Max right now, 1972's Finest. What's Up, Doc?
Oh, really?
Yes. Starring... Barbara Streisand, yeah. Ryan O'Neal, and introducing Madeline Kahn.
Right. I saw that.
This was her first film.
I saw that movie at a drive-in.
I don't remember. I didn't buy that.
I can't remember a thing about it, but I saw it at a drive-in.
Trish remembered seeing it when she was younger, but only in bits and pieces. And apparently it's one of her mother's favorite films. Although, to her credit, when Trish texted about it later, her mom said, I love that movie, but it's so stupid. And that second part is definitely fair. It is one of those, how do I put it? It was a category. I mean, I think it's a genre of film that I think is basically just called screwball comedy.
Yep.
Because it's just lots of shit happening that coincidentally makes everything else happen. Like I think of things like Rat Race and stuff like that. It's just a bunch of people with different agendas bumping into each other in funny ways.
Yeah.
And it's all mad, just crazy.
Mad world. And
yeah. Yes.
Things like that. That
kind of thing. Yep. Where there's not even, I mean, there is sort of a central plot, but there's a lot of parallel plots and things like that.
Yeah.
And this one involves the fact that most of the people in this movie, which include gangsters and secret agents and wealthy dowagers and con artists and musical scientists, I guess, all have identical looking luggage. And so all of the hijinks ensue. I didn't care for it. I think there are three reasons I didn't care for it.
Okay.
One, and this is the big one, and this is, I don't think it's a bad movie. I am not a fan of this genre, straight up. If I had to guess, I would say this is probably one of the better done versions of this genre.
Possible, yeah.
I am not into it. The second reason and this is something I've had to come to terms with. I'm not a big fan of Barbra Streisand. And I'll tell you why. She's a great singer. She's a good actor. But neither of those things is she nearly as good as she thinks she is. No matter what she's doing, she radiates smugness at me in a way that I cannot fucking deal with. Anything she's doing, anything I've seen her do, a movie, a concert, an interview, she just radiates, aren't I the shit? And it, the hubris that pulsates off of her, I can't stand.
I mean, there are a lot of people who sort of feed that vibe to her.
Yes.
I
mean, and she's people. And by no means is she the only one like that. And there are also people whose level of hubris beyond their talent is much greater. And I don't like them either. And that's the thing. I don't fucking hate Barbra Streisand. And I will admit, she's a great singer. She's a pretty good actress. Like, that's there. And I won't deny it, even in this movie. I just am constantly, I have this itch where I'm like, oh, but she's so fucking pleased with herself. So that gets in the way. And the third thing, sort of a corollary, although the plot is crazy and doesn't make sense, and frequently they talk about how it doesn't make sense, Barbra Streisand's character is a completely just a sociopath. Like, nothing she does makes sense unless it's like, oh no, she's just kind of an evil person who wants to watch the world burn. Like, that's the only way. And her character kicks off a lot of things. And she's the lead in all this, but I'm like, no, she's just kind of a monster who wants to fuck with people. And I had trouble with that. But again, this is the, it's mostly the first one. It's mostly the, this isn't my kind of, but it is out there. If you've ever been curious about it, I recommend you go see it on HBO Max. It's not, surprisingly, not that long. It is a weird Madeline Kahn joint. Because like I said, it's the first thing she's been in, and she does a great job. It's not like, her Madeline Kahn-ness is not coming out.
Really?
Like, she's capable of so much more. She's basically the uptight, dowdy fiance who you know he's not going to end up with. And she does that real well, but I'm like, immediately, like fucking Paper Moon, which I think happened like the year after this. Now she's Madeline Kahn. Like, it's this I was like, she did a great job, but she's so much more than what you're seeing in this role. But she did wonderful. It was a good casting choice in that sense. And there's this guy, I don't know who he is. He was in a lot of movies in this era, and he has a weird Eastern European accent. And I just think of him as the previous generation's version of Flula Borg, because that's what he was in this too, was basically to be silly and have a funny accent. And I love watching that. Yeah, but it was weird. So check that out. All right. That's all we got time for, people. Our next episode will be our Thanksgiving episode. I don't know what we're going to talk about, because we talked a lot about Thanksgiving this time. But maybe we'll answer your emails. In the meantime, give us more emails. We need more emails. We don't have a lot of emails. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Write in some stuff there. Questions, comments, topics, Thanksgiving wishes, hypotheticals. Screenplays, whatever. And we'll read them. And in the meantime, I hope everyone has a good pre-Thanksgiving. And some of you in other countries don't even fucking care about that. But just remember, as my grandma always told me, peanut butter stays good for a long time, but not forever.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, Visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.